Colossians chapter 3, I want to draw your attention this morning to the verse 17. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. We have been following through Colossians on the Lord's Day morning. I thought this verse that we're coming to is a very good text for a New Year's Day. It provides an appropriate truth for us as we commence the new year. And then if we take it, that is the verse, if we take it in the context of a new year entered and an old year that is past, it contains an appropriate word for us. For the year that has passed, thanksgiving. For the year that is ahead of us, consecration, dedication. Thanksgiving for that which is past in the words, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. And for the future and all our actions and deeds and speech in the year that is ahead, whatsoever ye do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. The New Year's Day is a day to pause, of course. It's a day to reflect. Reflect on the past, but also to pause and reflect on the future. We are to give God thanks for the past, but we're also for the future to make new resolve, new resolution, fresh dedication. New Year's Day calls us to these things. Before we look at the part of the text that I want to focus on, you will notice that all is centered around the Lord Jesus, our Savior Christ. Because he's in the middle of the verse. Do you see that? In the name of the Lord Jesus. He's in the very center. And not only is in the middle in the sense in this verse, but also both parts of the verse in relation to our doing and in relation to our giving thanks, he's in both parts of the verse. This is a Christ-centered verse. Whatever we do in word and deed, we're to do in his name. Whatever we are to thank God for, we are to thank God through him and by him. We're to be Christ-centered. That's clear. The Lord Jesus is always to be the center and the circumference of our Christian life. We're always to be taken up with the Lord Jesus. We can't give thanks without him and apart from him. We can't say a word or do a deed, but it must have relevance and connection somehow to him. We're to be taken up with him. We're to include him in everything. Everything's to be to him and for him and by him and through him. Just as Paul said earlier on in this epistle in verse 11, Christ is all and in all. But here it is again. Paul lives that out. Paul preaches that out. If you give thanks, Christ is all and in all. If you say a word or do a deed, Christ is all and in all. So one thing is always clear, brethren and sisters. Every new year, we must annually resolve to be more and more taken up with our Savior Jesus Christ. We must focus on him always in our services and in our life and in our Christian experience. We must trust him more. We must trust in the name of the Lord Jesus more. We must, as it were, follow him more. We must lean on him more. We must love him more. That's clear for us as we think about this text today. Paul can hardly write a phrase. He can hardly write a sentence. But somehow or other, he brings Christ into it. And so resolve today, this New Year's Day, resolve fully and wholly and ceaselessly through 2021 to be always considering him. Always focusing on him who has called us to be Christians, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, our New Year's service is not a long service, so I'm not going to try to rush through both parts of this text this morning. We will deal with the Thanksgiving part today only. Maybe we'll look at the resolution on the Lord's Day. Giving thanks to God and the Father by him. There are three things in the text. First of all, there is a good God who is God and Father. Secondly, there is a Christian duty toward that good God, giving thanks to him. And then thirdly, there is a wonderful and always present mediator through whom we are to give that thanks to that good God and Father, in him, or by him, or through him, Jesus Christ. Now, of course, we can give thanks for things that are present, and we can give thanks for things that are future. You can thank God for future things that he's promised. In faith, you can praise him. And of course, we presently thank him for even present mercies. Now, it is predominantly for the past that we give him thanks. For things received, we give him thanks. We cannot speak or do in the past. That's already been done. And so the speaking and doing that we're going to refer to is referring to the future, the new year, the resolution. What we said in past can't be reversed. The Lord can bless what we said, and he can forgive what we said. But we can't change it. We can't resolve about the past. But we can give thanks about the past. And that's our focus this morning. We are concerned about, especially on this New Year's Day, to be thankful for him for the blessings of 2020. Now, 2020 has been a hard year. You know that. It's been unusual. It's been exceptionally difficult for the Church of Jesus Christ. The work of God has suffered by the coronavirus issue. We've been afflicted and we have felt hampered. And we have been maybe even reduced somewhat in numbers because of this. And all churches are the same. We have to bear this chastisement. And that's what it is, brethren and sisters. There's no way to look at it differently. The Lord has chastened his church. The Lord has judged the nations, and in judging the nations, he has chastened his church. And there have been disappointments, and there have been discouragements. But we don't get down. And that's why we have this word this morning. We're not going to get down. We are forbidden to be discouraged. We are exhorted not to be depressed. We are not to allow our hearts to sink. God forbids it. We are to encourage ourselves in the Lord, and that's why he's given us the pulpit, to preach the gospel, but also to exhort and encourage the flock. And I trust that this pulpit will always be an encouraging pulpit. We are to encourage ourselves in the Lord. We are to lift up our hearts in the thought of the unchanging Lord and Savior that we can never lose. And so we are encouraging ourselves this morning. Whenever David lost all, you remember he lost all. There seemed no likelihood either of its recovery. The Bible says he encouraged himself in the Lord. He found something. We're not just sure what it was, but he found something to be upbeat about. It was around the Lord. It was something to do with the Lord. He encouraged himself in the Lord. There was something to be upbeat about. He found a Savior present, even in that most difficult circumstance. He found a Savior in whom it was easy to be upbeat about. He encouraged himself in the Lord. You know, if you take that word Lord out, if you take that name of the Lord out, so there's really despair, there's nothing there. But whenever you put that in, the Lord. That makes a difference, doesn't it? We can be a beat today because of the Lord. The Lord who's in the text, the name of the Lord Jesus. He found something, that is, David found something to give God thanks for. Even when he'd lost all. Brothers and sisters, let me stress again. We are commanded not to be discouraged. God commands you that. He says, lift up the hands which hang down. Are the hands hanging down this morning? Have you a drooping spirit? What has God said to you? Now come on, lift up those hands. Raise up that drooping spirit. And the feeble knees, strengthen. Or as it is in the Old Testament, from which he quotes the apostle, strengthen the weak hands. Confirm the feeble knees. So yes, the Lord has chastened and rebuked us. But he says, don't be discouraged. Consider him. As the apostle to the Hebrews says in another place, consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners. The Lord was in a hard place too. But consider him, lest you be discouraged and faint in your mind. So we're considering the Lord this morning, the name of the Lord Jesus. You've forgotten the exhortation, the apostle goes on to say, which speaketh unto you as unto children, God and Father. That's what the text says. You're not to forget that. And therefore you're not to be forgetting the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, neither despise the chastening of the Lord, but don't be discouraged either. And so he says, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when he rebukes you. So yes, recognize the chastisement. Don't despise the chastisement. Don't deny the chastisement. But acknowledging it, don't be discouraged. It's fatherly chastisement. So don't let your heart faint because you've been rebuked by him. Because the church has received his rod. Don't faint. We're not to faint because of what has happened last year, and only God knows what lies before us in the year ahead, but whatever befalls us, we're not to faint. We're not to be disheartened. We're to get the bands out to wrap the weak parts. The debilitating discouragements. We're to get the wrappings of Holy Scripture and the Word of God and wrap them round and strengthen those weak parts. The hands and the knees. The important parts of action and activity for God. And one thing we can still do, in the words of our text, is give God thanks. God is to be praised. That doesn't change. Men are to be thanked, of course, as well, for the little things that they do. But God is to be thanked endlessly for any good and all good that we receive, because he is the author of it, isn't he? Everything that's good that comes to us. And we have received much good, even in the discouragements. The Bible says every good gift, every perfect gift is from above. Whoever it is mediated through, by whichever instrument it comes to us, the source is God. And so we're to give God thanks. Giving thanks unto God the Father. So this is a duty, child of God, to thank God. A man can receive nothing. Nothing. Can't even receive the air you breathe. Can't receive anything. Except it be given him from heaven. From God. And so God is to be praised the very air we breathe, for the very healthy lungs at present that we have. How long we may continue to have them, we do not know, but at present we have the healthy lungs whereby we can breathe that air and receive that oxygen without the debilitating effects of a disease. We give God praise. We must thank God for all his benefits, brethren and sisters, for we are undeserving of any of them. That's true. We're not worthy of the least of his gifts. The days of evil have not changed God, congregation. That's what we're saying this morning. The days of difficulty past year have not lessened his goodness, his wonderful mercy has not reduced his love to us. And so in the words of Holy Scripture, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Even if you can't find a reason, even if you can't think of a gift, even if you've been so overridden, as it were, by all the darkness and all the afflictions, there's something you can give God thanks for he is good. Giving thanks unto God. And so I trust the Lord is impressing this upon you today. And to do it even more so, I want you to hear afflicted people in the words of Holy Scripture. Hear afflicted David. Hear the tried and humble saints who went through dark periods and difficult seasons, and it didn't lessen their ardor in thanksgiving to God. And so I want you to hear them this morning. The afflicted psalmist, O Lord my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever. I'll do it forever, Lord. No matter what happens, no matter how Saul treats me, no matter how much my son Absalom in his rebellion discourages me, I will thank thee, O God, forever. I will give thanks in the great congregation. I will praise thee among much people. So he's going to go to the church as well to do it. He's going to go to God's house to give thanks to God. I'll do it. I'll even do it among the people. Unto thee, O God, do we give thanks. Unto thee do we give thanks, for that thy name is near. For that thy name is near. Twice he said it, or the congregation said it, it's in the plural. Unto thee we give thanks. Unto thee we give thanks, for that thy name is near. The name that's in the text. The name of the Lord Jesus. There's something to give God thanks for. That nearness. That near presence of God that we've enjoyed. We bless him. So we thy people, the sheep of thy pasture, will give thanks unto thee forever. You see how determined the people of God were? And so at the start of a new year, I remind you of this congregation that the discouragements of the past year are not to throw cold waters over our ardor of praise. You can see then that this is a duty. A duty the Old Testament saints happily engaged in. And they did so with great joy and delight. And well, they should. For though they were afflicted, for though they suffered the judgments along with the nations, they had light in their dwelling. They had the covenants of God and the promises of the Word. They had God. They had the nearness of the name, as we just read there in their own words. The nearness of God, giving thanks unto God. God. What is God? Well, whenever you hear that question, the old catechism comes up, doesn't it? Question and answer number 4 asks and answers the very same thing. God is a spirit, infinite, eternal, unchangeable in his being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. The word that I particularly like is the word unchangeable. Unchangeable in his being, in his essence, in his persons. Unchanging in his wisdom. Unchanging in his power. Unchanging in his holiness, his justice, his goodness, and truth. All those wonderful attributes, one and undivided they all are, in his unsearchable essence. And yet this is the crowning word. Unchangeable. I want you to think about that at the start of a new year. That's the God we give thanks to. The unchangeable God. 2020 has been a year of some change. Change like we've never seen before. It has been such a visitation of chastisement upon us that it's almost akin to war. It is something the like of which we have not seen anything, and I suppose nobody's seen anything the like of since the Second War. World War. So we've seen some change. But we can still give thanks to God because he changes not. He's the same. He hasn't changed. He hasn't changed in his feelings towards us. He hasn't changed in his promises towards us. Paul calls God Father. God and Father. I like that. Paul knows how to write. He knows when to bring in the word just at the right time. He didn't have to write that word, Father. He often didn't add Father when he's speaking about God and duties toward God. But here, he must write it. Giving thanks to God. And don't forget it. And the Father. And the Father. You know, Paul is not talking about two persons when he says that, as if God is one person and the Father is another person. He knows the distinctions of persons in the Godhead. And when he says, and God and the Father, he's referring to the first person, who is the Father, the God who is the Father. The first person is God and the Father. The second person is God the Son, because there's no Father without a Son, and there's no Son without a Father. And this is an eternal relationship in God. He's an eternal, unchanging Father because of his eternal, unchanging Son. It's an eternal generation. And those in the Christian church who say otherwise are grossly mistaken. He is the Father because of his relationship to the Son. And that doesn't change. No matter what takes place in the world, no matter about disappointments and diseases and desolations on the earth, that doesn't change. He's always God and the Father. God changes not. The Father and the Son, the name of the Lord Jesus, remain the same. And that's the reason why we can give him thanks. That's the reason. If there's no other reason, it's God and the Father. We can give him thanks. Because, you see, we who have been baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus, which he's talking about here, in our baptism into the name of the Lord Jesus, we have union with Jesus Christ. And we can never be separated from our Lord Jesus Christ. No matter what happens. No matter what disease seizes you, no matter what virus gets into your body and destroys it, it cannot affect your union to the Lord Jesus. Can't. God is our Father in Jesus Christ. And he loves his people with an unchanging love who are in his Christ. And so that's why Paul says, and the Father, bringing to remembrance our relationship to the Son, who in our baptism in him brings us into the family of God. And so he loves his people. They are his children, and they always will be. And that is something worth giving God thanks about. And you can, congregation, thank God that last year he was a father to you. That didn't change. But what about all that has come upon the church? It is fatherly chastisement. And it has to be recognized as such. And we don't get anywhere by getting high and mighty and becoming rebels and denying the chastisement or in some way despising it. You don't do that with God's chastisements. You take the humble place and you do what you do under his chastening hand, humbling yourselves under his mighty hand, that in due season he may exalt you. So we're to be humble. We can still thank him. We can still praise him yet more and more. We can thank him for his person. He doesn't change, as we say. His person didn't change last year. The virus didn't get into the essence of the Godhead. He sent it in his providence. And so we can thank him for his person, who changes not. He's the ever blessed God. And he is still the good shepherd of his people. That doesn't change. He still cares for his flock. So we can thank him for his person, God and the Father. And we can thank him for his provision. Hasn't he met all our needs? Hasn't he kept the door open? Hasn't he kept us through the storm? Hasn't he kept us from the virus and the sickness? Hasn't he given us our daily bread still? And we can thank him for his pastoring of us, who is the great shepherd. His word still came to us. He still speaks to us and has spoken to us last year. He has ministered to your souls through the word. The Lord has fed his flock. He has come to us in the ordinance of gospel preaching. The ministry has been enabled to continue in season and out of season. And we can give God thanks. And we should. We should praise him. He has provided for the needs of your soul through the word. And he has given us his presence in his house. We can thank him for his presence. He hasn't left us. He hasn't gone and isolated himself from the disease. No, the Lord hasn't left us. The Lord is still with us. The Lord is with his people. The name of the Lord Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. He changes not in his presence. We thank God forever and ever for that. His name is still near. It's still near. It's still here. Don't be discouraged. He's here. The name is still here. He's still with us to feed us. He's still with us to bless us with his word. He said he'll never leave us nor forsake us. He said, I'm with you always. Will you gather in my name? I'm there. He never misses a meeting. We can praise him for his presence, giving thanks unto God and the Father. We can thank him for his promises. Some of them we have quoted today. Those unchanging promises, like God himself, his word is unchanging. His promises are still the same. We can believe them. We can be comforted by them. We can be encouraged through them. We can thank him for his promises. The promises of his presence. The promise that he'll lead us into green pastures. The promise that he'll furnish our table in the very midst of our enemies. Whatever form those enemies take. That's our God. So don't be discouraged for the year that's ahead. And give him thanks for the year that's past. We can thank him for his people. Though the people have been affected by the virus and by the legislation and by all these things that are coming upon us in the mystery and maze of the divine providence, we can thank God that we've still been able to get together to, even if it's only see the faces of God's people, one another, saints, and we've encouraged ourselves in the Lord, in his house. You've encouraged the heart of your pastor by your congregating here. You've encouraged the hearts of one another by your congregating here. The Lord has blessed us. We can thank him for the flock. We have the blessings of God. We can thank him for his prophet, his priest, and his prince that he has given to us. His own Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, our mediator. We are still blessed. We have Christ. Heaven's door is not shut. Christ is still at the right hand of God. That's why Paul adds, by him. You don't have much to give thanks God for. It's been so difficult a year. Think of that pronoun, him. By him. You can give thanks by him. And if you can only give thanks for him, that you give thanks by, that's enough. You have Christ. You have a mediator. You have access to the throne of God. The way is not shut. The virus hasn't closed it up. The legislation of man hasn't shut up the way. No, we have access by God unto the Father by Jesus Christ, by him. He hasn't left us. The virus has not made him to wander off and leave us desolate. Bless his name. Our Christ. Our Redeemer. I am with you always, always with us, always by us, always over us, always for us. Giving thanks for 2020, you have him with you still. And so think of that blessed person as we close this morning. Him. He sweetens all the disappointments of 2020. He is the sweet spices that mulls the bitter cup of life. Him. He who is to us the wine in the dark, damp cellar. That's where he is. That's where the best wine is kept, old Rutherford said. When I'm in the dark, damp dungeon, he says, I look for Christ. He's easy to find then. That's where he is, like the wine. Him. He never left us in 2020. Bless his name, Ebenezer. We can go on with confidence that 2021 will be the same. Him. What did William Carey say? The future is as bright as the promises of God. That's how bright 2021 is for us. Bless his name. What a bright year ahead we have for us. In the name of the Lord Jesus, who has said, I am with you still. Who has said, when thou passest through the waters, I'll be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. This is the 2021. Yes, we're going to have to walk through the fire. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. When you go through the waters, when you go through the fire, when through the rivers. Surely he will deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers. Under his wings shalt thou trust. That's all we're to do. Trust. Every week we say, Lord Jesus, we're coming under your wings this Lord's Day in your house. We expect to get something there. We certainly expect to be protected from the virus there, Lord. And we want to get a word for our souls. We're trusting under the shadow of your wings. He will cover thee with his feathers. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flies by day. Fear thou not. I am with thee. Don't be dismayed. There it is again. Doesn't the Lord really know our hearts? Oh, I'm discouraged, Lord. I'm dismayed because of this and because of that. And you know what it's done? Don't be dismayed. I am still your God. I am still with you. I'm still here. God says to us. That's all that matters, isn't it? The Emmanuel presence. Bless his name. I'm your redeemer. I redeemed you, worm Jacob. And I know what you are. But don't be dismayed and don't be afraid. I'll help you. Yea, as David could say with all confidence, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, should it even get that dark, I will not fear any evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Bless his name. Giving thanks to God and the Father by him.